Now then, this Syrophoenician woman, she cried out to Jesus, "Help me, Lord." Her daughter, she said, "My daughter is vexed. She's grievously vexed. She had an unclean spirit. She was demon-possessed. That's what was the matter with her." Now, number one, she worshiped him. Number two, she knew who he was. She called him Lord. She called him Son of David. And as we read in Matthew 22, 41 and 42, anyone that called Jesus Son of David was calling him Messiah. Amen. That is so important. Go back through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look that phrase up. And it's revealing, very revealing. Now, she had no pride. She had no pride. Had she had any kind of pride, that conversation would have ended before Jesus, before he ever got there. Because Jesus' own staff was trying to run the woman off. She was about to drive them up the wall. And I heard Brother Hagin say this one time, and the more I thought about it, the more I like what he said. When they came to him and said, "Send her away," they weren't being that cold to just run her off. I believe they were saying to him, "Do whatever it is she wants and get rid of her." Well, now that tells you something about that woman. She came there to get that girl delivered, and she wasn't leaving until it's done. And she didn't care whose toes she got on to get it done. Amen. And if you've got a lot of pride about yourself, you're never going to do that. Or if you're not committed to receive from God under any and all conditions and circumstances, you're going to be somewhere down the line, you're going to be a pushover for the devil. He's just going to, he'll beat you out of it some way or another. And she had no pride. She humbled herself before him. Now, I want to talk about this. I mean, she put herself down. He called her a dog, called her daughter a dog, and she didn't pay attention to it. She said, "Yeah, but," you know, she said, "Man, yeah, I'm a dog, but we're going to get delivered here." You know, yeah. That's a boldness. It's not arrogance. It's a coming boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Amen. And find grace in a time of need. She was not leaving. She was not leaving. That's the great faith that Jesus was talking about. Now then, hold your place there. And let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. The Lord was talking to me about this morning, about, I'll get down here where I can talk to you. There's such a great misunderstanding concerning humility. I'm talking about Bible humility now. I can care less what Dr. Phil says about it. Well, I'm running Dr. Phil down, you understand? But you know, I'll take the Apostle Peter every time before Dr. Phil or me or you or, you know, or anybody else. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to the world to define spiritual things, you're going to miss it. Because the world doesn't know. There's only one book that'll really tell you the truth.
That's right.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. Are you there? The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with it. Okay. Peter, yeah, but what is humility? If I'm going to be clothed with it, is that me just go around and say I'm so unworthy and so no good? No. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now that's that. Hey, now wait a minute. I'm going to get exalted? Well, I thought we were looking for humility here, and I'm going to get exalted? I mean, come on here. It isn't that God doesn't want you or doesn't want me to be exalted. He doesn't want you and me exalting ourselves. Amen. So stick with me here now, because this is going to get pretty thick before we get done here. Now, how do you do that, sir? Casting all. Casting all your care upon him. All of it. All of it. God does not want you. Jesus didn't go to the cross to enable you and me to be able to carry half our cares. He doesn't want you carrying one care. He wants you and me to live a carefree, Holy Ghost empowered life. Amen. Anybody have a classic amplified handy? Huh? Show me where I am here. Yeah, okay, good. Okay. Verse 7, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, Now, hey, this is not a suggestion. You understand this is a command? All your concerns, once and for all, on him. Once and for all. I mean, you get rid of it. And Gloria and I did this years ago, and over a period of years, we go back and renew this. And I'm, oh my goodness. I found this has come to play so many times in my life where disaster was staring me in the face, and the Lord took me right back to this and said, you're carrying this. Yes, sir. Dump it. And finally, I said, Lord, he said, do it the same way you do your wrath. Don't let the sun go down on a worry. Don't carry the thing overnight. Dump it before you ever go to sleep. Just roll all the care over it. And then when it tries to come back at you, say, nope, that ain't even mine. You devil, you want to talk to somebody about that, go talk to Jesus. I've already turned it over to him. That ain't mine. I'm not touching that in my thought life. Now, you may have to do that over and 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 over. But finally, it will come to a place where it'll lift off of you. And then you get to where you don't even think about it anymore. That's when the Lord can do something about it. But you see, that's what this is saying is true biblical humility. Pride is, well, I got this. Pride is the one that stays up all night long trying to figure out a way to fix it. And if you couldn't have fixed it last night, you ain't going to be able to fix it tonight. And then when the thing caves in, you come out, I just don't understand, Lord, I don't know why you didn't fix that for me. And he's standing there saying, well, I would have if you'd just handed it to me. Why is it like that? Why doesn't he just come in and just do it? He can't. Do you remember in his own town of Nazareth? They didn't believe what he preached. So there he could do no mighty work. Why? Because of their unbelief. He tried. You know, you want to do good for in your hometown where you was raised, man. Laid his hands on a few people. But that's all. No mighty works. No blind God healed. No, you know. He said he couldn't. See, God created the heavens, the earth, and all that is in it. And then he created man and gave it all to him. Amen. Heaven has already done everything it takes to fix your financial problem. You have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. I mean, he's the one that's receiving your tithe. Hallelujah. He is the Lord of the hosts. Hallelujah. And you're worried over a house payment? Not taking advantage of what we have. But there is a process in which the care is placed in his hands and keep it there. And it's all right here. Casting all your care upon him, as the Amplified says, once and for all, worries, concerns, all of it. Casting the whole of that care upon him, for he cares for you. He's standing there. He's your care taker. Yeah. And how does it make you feel when somebody says, take care? Yeah. Well, see, they don't understand. But every time somebody says that to me, I want to say, no, thank you. I've already rolled my care over on Jesus. I'm not taking any more. You understand? Amen. Glory, 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 glory. Now, somewhere down the line, she did this. She had humbled herself. She had no pride. I don't care what he did. I don't care what he said. She's not budging. Amen. Now, notice this now. Be sober and vigilant. So you have to take care of business here. And I'm telling you, it's night and day. It is night and day. The Lord reminded me of something today as I was going through this. When you're carrying care, you will major and spend the majority of your time, your prayer time, everything, your thought life, thinking on what's wrong. A number of years ago, we had a situation that escalated, and we got out of phase with our television broadcast, and back there in those days, our television bill was a couple of million a month, and you know, you don't get by in about 20 minutes on that, and you're in trouble. Well, and the problem is, to catch up with it, you got to double the income. Well, it got up to $6 million. And I was just beside myself. Well, we had a board meeting coming up. And back in those days, Pastor George was not Pastor George yet, but he was the CEO of the ministry. And the process was, all of the different departments turn in their reports for the year and so forth to George, and then George turns them all into me, and then I go over them all, you know. Oh, Lord, I'll tell you, I didn't want to see that report. I waited till nearly midnight before I even read it, and I got the board meeting in the next morning. I didn't want to have to go before that board and tell them what a horrible mess this ministry was in, and what a terrible year we'd had. But Glory had already gone to bed. I said, okay. Got that report, opened it up. Here's this department. Best year we've ever had, and here's this department. Best year we've ever had, and here's this department. Best year we've ever had. Here's the TV department. Worst year we've ever had. We're $6 million in the hole. Then here's this. Here's what the Lord brought up to me today. I'd had a wonderful year and didn't know it. I should have been rejoicing all year long. We wouldn't have been near in the hole we were in had I been praising God for the wonderful year we'd have. I didn't even know we had had it. Huh? Well, don't sit there and look at me in that sanctimonious tone of voice. You've done the same thing. If you're going to carry care, you're going to have your mind on the care, not on the joy and the blessing that's been going on around you all the time. Amen. And you go back and analyze it. God was bumping you in the right direction all the time, trying to get you to do it, but you didn't. I mean, you're so care-minded, you're just too dumb to follow. Amen. I said, Lord, I see it. And he stopped me. He said, look, did you notice that the only department that you carried flopped? I said, yeah, yes, sir, I'm seeing that. I said, sir, forgive me, please. Oh, God, forgive me. I know better than this. I've been taught better than this. I know better than this. And I wept over it. I was the problem in the ministry. I was the problem. You can't give the devil credit for being the problem. I was carrying that care. I said, Gloria! She got up and came in and said, what's the matter? I went through this whole thing with her. She said, glory to God. I said, Gloria, we are going to roll the care of this over on Jesus. She said, oh, yeah. And she began to repent, and we just repented before the Lord. And we went through, we opened our Bibles to this scripture right here, and we said, Father, we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before you. We take our hands off of that, and we turn it over to you. We put it in your hands. Hallelujah. Now, this was in April. May, June, that TV bill, that $6 million was paid. And for the first time in the history of this ministry, in July, we paid the TV bill in one check. So it didn't just stop with overwhelming that $6 million. It just kept on coming. Can you see that? You see what happened? When I turned it over to the great financier. Hey. Have any partner ever gotten a letter from me and said, oh, help us, help us, help us. This may be the last letter you get. We may have to go off of BVOV. You never will either. Praise God. Now, let's read on. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He may not devour just everybody. Well, I'm one of the whoms that he can't. And you ought to be too. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Glory to God. But now, wait a minute. What's this after you've suffered a while? Now, thank you, Lord. Let's refresh ourselves just a moment. This Syrophoenician woman worshipped him. She knew who he was. He called him the Lord and the Son of David. She had no pride, and she humbled herself before him. And we're in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, talking about what it means to humble yourself before God. Humbling ourselves before God is the casting of all our care, our worries, our concerns, our anxieties. Notice where all of those things come from. They are all fear-based and fear-dependent. Without fear, they can't function. Without fear, you don't worry. Well, what casts out fear? Perfected love. That word perfected is, well, it's used in 1 John chapter 4, 15, 16, 17, 18 verses right in there. It's used in the context of practice makes perfect. It's what you practice is what you develop. And it is the word that translated developed or finished or complete. But when you're practicing love, when you're practicing love all the time, it develops love and it grows in you. It grows. Hallelujah. And that love will begin to cast something. Here we're casting the whole of our care over on him. And that love casts out fear.